General Nguebo and your team, and you acting DG or DG?
Good morning, Honorable Chair. I'm informed that I'm acting DG for a year. So I've run my 2 months. So I'm left with ten months to go.
I'll address you as Vice Chair. What? Thank you very much, General, and you're welcome. We are receiving a report from Department of Military Veterans from 1 April to 30 June 2018 performance and expenditure briefing and progress report on its implementation of committee recommendations. Then we were supposed, last time, we were supposed to deal with the Defense Amendment Bill. Your mics are not working. Okay. We'll deal with that. We're supposed to deal with, honorable members, we're supposed to deal with the Defense Amendment Bill. We are at a stage where the committee must deal with clause to clause of the bill and then also adopt the bill. But our committee has been very unfortunate. Our members haven't been able to attend because some have got ailments and so on. Now, we are thinking that we can deal with that tomorrow, hoping that all our members should be here. Because I understand that bill, you can't just go and pick up any member who's not the member of the committee, unlike other businesses. So that should be dealt with members of this committee. The department, it does not necessarily need any input from the department unless you have something that needs urgent attention, but it would be advisable that we have a representative from the department. Tomorrow we will form a quorum and deal with that amendment. As of now, we will only deal with the committee program. Oh yes, and it's fine, we'll deal with that later. Now, then we need to go straight into the Sipir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I consulted with the DOG team with regards to tomorrow. Unfortunately, nobody is prepared in terms of caring. We're not prepared to be here until tomorrow. We are only carrying the books. And as we discussed and that there should be a representative, and I said maybe we'll send Colonel Mashego. I am told that Colonel Mashego was not involved with this project. However, the department is coming back next week on the 29th to deal with the quarterly report. And there was a suggestion that maybe we should come next week and deal with the clause by clause before the issue of the quarterly report or after.
Nana, it's fine, we'll inform you. I'll inform you after the meeting as to what is doable. we'll check with our staff and then see what is doable. If we cannot go on without, if we can go on without you, we will go on without you. If we cannot go on without you, we will also inform you. Thank you very much. Then can we go to Honorable Van Rooyen, you're welcome. Honorable Skosane, you're welcome. It means that we can. Now, let's go straight to item number two, to you, General, to give us a presentation on this, on the report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. And honorable members, good morning to you all. From the military, Department of Military Veterans, we are a team of four. At the far end, the control of the slide is going to be done by Mr. Moses Rampel, who is in the planning. On his left, immediate left, would be Mr. Ndlovu, who is a CFO. And on my immediate left would be Ms. Kalka, who is in the communication. We have received the request. We hope and trust that at least we will do justice to what is expected of us. Next slide, please. Chair, I understand that the copies have been distributed around, and also we are trying at least to present and show through the slides. Those who can read, probably they will be able at least to read from that. And then looking at the mandate, we are confirming our mandate, which speaks mainly to us as a department making sure that at national level we've got the policy and we've got our regulations in place and we put up the standard operating procedures to make sure that we're in a position to dispense.
General, I want you to start on your executive summary.
Executive summary.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. In terms of the executive summary, for the first quarter, we planned that we'll be spending at least up to 138 million, which is 22% of our budget, which is 627.1 million. But in reality, we have spent 15% of that, which means we have underspent about 7%. And as far as the cost of employment, we are 1% up in terms of what we expected at least to be spent. The logic behind that is informed by our structure, that we are not, first, the structure we have, not all the posts are filled, and secondly, it does not allow us to deliver the services we are expected to deliver, and hence we've got contract employees and also we are utilizing intent to do what we're expected to do. So that tend, therefore, at least to put pressure on our cost of employment. In terms of goods and services, as well as transfers and subsidies, we are behind our budget. That also is informed by the challenges in terms of performance against key benefits, where we are supposed to be delivering skills development to our clientele. We are challenged with that environment. And also we are expected also to pay compensation for injuries and social relief of distress. So those areas are the areas where we are challenging us being able to dispense those services. In terms of the socio-economic support budget, there is a challenge when it comes to education support, healthcare support, so there is a little bit of slower expenditure on housing. it continue to, at least to give us challenges. Some of the benefits, the logic behind will be explained later on, but it's informed that we are not the ones in terms of building houses and making sure that some of these houses can be available to the beneficiaries. Next slide. Now, with your permission, Chair, in terms of the next slide, I will hand over to the CFO so that he can take us through. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee. Thanks, DJ. No, acting DJ. Taking the presentation forward, Chair, I'll be very quick and short. This slide actually gives us a view in terms of how we are performing on mainly on key benefits. Where you see red, it means that the department is facing challenges, mainly due to underspending, where I will then briefly explain the challenges against each of the key benefits. Starting with compensation for injuries on military veterans, we had a budget of 5.2 million. Presently, in order to disperse compensation for injuries, there has to be assessments performed on each claimant. So we presently don't have a clinical psychologist because we never had that in the structure. However, through the intervention of the acting DG, SAMS has agreed to provide a team which will actually undertake all the assessments required for the department to be able to disperse. So we should start seeing spend and against the compensation for injuries. Social relief of distress, we're only portraying 4% spend against a budget of 34 million. The challenge there is we've got beneficiaries who have exceeded 12 months. As per the policy on SRD and the SOP, we can only disperse up until the maximum of 12 months. So those who are still requiring SRD, we cannot disperse, they have to reapply. So we're busy processing the reapplications on SRD, as well as there is a backlog, because those who have applied who are new applicants, their bank details still need to be verified using the safety web system. So that process is unfolding. Where you see the two next benefits, which is education support and healthcare, though we're showing performance against the targeted spend, we also want to report that we will have challenges on these two key benefits, mainly due to increased demand coupled with the level of accruals coming from the previous financial years. So we will have budget constraints against these two key benefits. Housing remains a challenge due to dependencies from human settlements. However, the department is considering other service delivery models in terms of fulfilling these benefits. So we're busy looking at other alternative methods. As well as I've also mentioned on education and healthcare, the issue here is also the level of accruals, mainly on Gauteng province, where we have already reported housing delivery, close to 100 units allocated to military veterans. However, they've got a billing challenge to invoice the department. That is to the tune of about 8 million sitting in our accruals. So in brief, this is mainly the performance on SES benefits where we're showing 18% against a targeted spend of 22%. Skills development as well as burial support. On skills, we still remain with the challenge of dispersing these benefits, mainly driven by historical strategy to disperse skills. However, we are reviewing the strategy where we become, as a department, more proactive in terms of making offering to the military veterans rather than military veterans doing walk-ins into the department in terms of what skills they require. So there's a challenge in terms of us having to actually profile military veterans to see what they need. So that process will unfold. So basically, Chair, that is just a snapshot on key benefits. The next slide is merely an overall picture, one which is the first quadrant by program, and the below quadrant is by economic classification. Starting with the first quadrant, as we've already indicated, the targeted spend is 22% for quarter one. Overall, we have reported 15% spend, where administration is on par with the targets, and social economic support as well as empowerment and stakeholder management being behind by 13% and 12% respectively. Key drivers, as already indicated, it's mainly on goods and services and transfers and subsidies, where we are trailing behind mainly on key benefits. Administration cost as well, there has been a challenge mainly on CETA support services, where the annexures were not signed on time, but that issue has been resolved. The government orders have now been created for invoices to come through. Moving to the next slide, it's merely a graphic representation of the previous slide, where we're showing where you see that trend line of 22%, and then you've got that line graph indicating where we're at by each branch. You'll see administration on par with both socioeconomic support, empowerment, and stakeholder management being 13% and 12% respectively, with the overall, on look on your far right, 15% achievement versus the targets of 22%. The next section will talk to the actual performance against the set targets for the department. Slide number 11 is merely a picture in terms of how far is the department performing on overall targets. For quarter one, we had a target of 10, where we have only achieved 2%, which equates to 20%. That underachievement is mainly driven by non-achievement in administration, one which is a 50% achievement on CES, and ESM at only 33%, but we'll go through the details in the next couple of slides. As already indicated, for program one, we had a target of 5 indicators to hit, where we have portrayed 0.
What is program one?
Program one, yes.
What is the name of program one?
It's administration, Chair. Yeah. So we'll go through the details of that underachievement in the following slides. So going to each performance indicator, which is performance indicator 101, which is mainly the percentage representation of women at SMS level. That one, we did not set any target for Q1 because we measure it at the end of the financial year. So there was no target set there. The program indicator 102, which is the percentage approved communication strategic activities implemented. The reason for non-achievement is merely a challenge in terms of capacity constraints. Probably what is not captured there as a reason for deviation, Chair, you will recall that we've been mandated to also perform a skills audit. So coupled with the constraints, human resources constraints will also be an element of the ability of people to perform against the required targets. So basically, we hope that when then the skills audit is addressed, then some of the issues will then start to disappear. Performance indicator 103, which is a percentage of cases from the presidential hotline resolved on time. You will see that there is a deviation of 11.6%, having only achieved 88.4%. For that post, it has been vacant. The official did pass on. So we presently did not have a permanent public liaising officer. However, that function is being handled by the manager in the office of the DG, who strives to then respond to all issues raised. So in future, we will close that gap in terms of capacitating that unit so that they will be able to perform. Performance indicator 104, which is a fully integrated benefits management system. Chair, the committee will recall that we are partnering with CETA, where we have then engaged in numerous occasions. We've signed a business agreement with CETA, and there was a value proposition in terms of how they're going to assist us. So there is a team working on and providing solution to the department for implementation. There has been teething issues in terms of going live, but we will resolve the issue. We've got the new go live data, which is the 1st of September. We hope then we will be able to report when we come back to report quarter two reports. PPI 105, which is the percentage of legitimate invoices paid within 30 days. Chair, you may see a deviation of 32.5 there. However, I would like to also state that mainly this is not to the disadvantage mainly of emerging service providers, because the challenge here is mainly driven by the manual systems that the DMV has. We have not yet implemented a logging system, which is a supply chain tool, which helps you to then track and manage expenditure. So everything is being done manually. So, and if you look there, the reason for deviation, it's mainly with the travel agent where we've got multiple invoices each month which are being handled manually, where we don't only travel as DMV officials, but the main beneficiaries is stakeholders, which is mainly the SANVA. So SANVA, it means that any request that comes through SANVA to transport individual military veterans, we have to provide as per the Act. So we've got multiples of transactions each month which are handled manually. As well as in there, you've got multiple transactions related to Vodacom. But for Vodacom, we are resolving the issue because we will just migrate to the transversal contract where we'll only receive one bill at the end of the month. So that issue will be resolved. So basically, Chair, I just wanted to record that we are not in non-compliance to the detriment of emerging service providers. And then performance indicator 106, which is the number of liberation strictly history research outputs. Mainly there, I think the target of 5, where we've only achieved 5 is the annual target, Chair. For quarter 1, they had targeted 1 output. But the unit is facing challenges because in order to cover the 9 provinces, with the resources that they have, with the time allocated to them, they find it difficult to then cover the scope of work required. However, we've noted the need to then engage in an integrated approach where it's not only research who carries out the work, but all the other benefiting branches, including empowerment and stakeholder management, they have to then use an integrated approach in order to address the issue. So we hope by the quarter two we'll start seeing more progress on it. PPI 107, there was no target for quarter one. We will also report this on an annual basis because it's human resources related. For program two, which is socio-economic support, as already indicated in the previous slides, we had planned two targets. We've only achieved one with a deviation of one, which is a 50%. The details are covered in the next slide, which was mainly achievement on PPI 201, which is the number of military veterans who are proved to have access to healthcare services. Our target for the year is 17,000, where then the quarter one target was 16,250. We've achieved 16,376 with the overachievement of 126. But this is mainly due to the ever-increasing demand on healthcare services from military veterans. Chair, we will recall that we've got in excess of 76,000 military veterans on the database, but it's not everyone who's already approved to have access. It's only those who have been pre-approved who are carrying the cards who accesses the healthcare benefits. PPI number two, which is the number of military veterans provided with newly built houses, as already indicated on performance against key benefits. We did not set a target for Q1. We are requesting to be measured from quarter two. So there was no target set here. PPI 203, which is the percentage of military veterans who are verified and captured on the military veterans database. Here, Chair, we've decided to then change the indicator to be a percentage, because all we want to measure is the efficiency of fulfilling the applications. And hence, then, we had set a target at 95%. And for each quarter, we want to maintain the 95% so that we ensure that we are always as efficient as we should be. The achievement was only 41% with a deviation of 54%. Probably the notable key issue there is around resource constraints in that unit, where we don't have a chief director appointed. We don't have a director appointed in that space. It's mainly the DD and junior team managing the department. However, as reported as part of the challenges raised by the committee for the department fast track filling the critical vacant post, so we are prioritizing the filling of those senior posts. PPI 204, which is a total number of bursaries provided to military veterans and their dependents. The yearly target is 10,700. No target set for quarter one because we want to measure it from quarter two when we start processing the applications. So we will report when we come back to report quarter two. Program three, which is empowerment and stakeholder management. As already indicated, planned targets of three, achieved one with a deviation of two, which is a 67% deviation. Details follows in slide 19. PPI 301, which is the number of private sector companies and state organs in agreement with the Department of Military Veterans, a target of 4, no target set for quarter 1. So we will start reporting from quarter 3. PPI 302, which is number of military veterans and their dependents with approved funding for skills development programs, a yearly target of 5,000. Quarter 1, we had a target of 1,000. We only achieved 100 with a deviation of 900. Due to capacity constraints, we have presently a huge backlog in terms of applications, and those applications are being addressed. We have considered alternative ways of resourcing that unit. PPI 303, which is the number of military veterans businesses provided with access to empowerment opportunities, a yearly target of 110, the target for Q1 being 40, preliminary output of 20 with a deviation of 22. Chair and committee members, the strategy here also is linked to what we have in skills, because all that we do is to wait for military veterans to approach the department, then we assist. I think going forward, what we have then decided to do as the department is to maybe conduct roadshows where then we will be able to then reach out to military veterans, as well as also it also talks back to the branding of the department, because there is a need for us to be visible out there. So I think part of those strategies will help us turn around these issues. PPI 304, which is mainly percentage of approved burial claims paid within 30 days of receipt. We always target ourselves against a 100% turnaround, where we say we have achieved that target, which is a 100% turnaround in terms of feeding into the need for burial support. PPI 305, which is number of military veterans memorial sites erected per year, we've got a target of 3. We have not set a target as a Q1. We will start reporting, we will report in Q4, which is the performance against that target. Chair, this is just a high level slide on human resources. Chair, you will recall that we have an approved structure of 169. Of the 169, 130 posts were filled as at end of quarter one. Basically, this slide will show us two things. The first portion of the slide, which is mainly the key statistics in terms of race distribution, as well as number two will be the number of disabled members within the field vacant the field posts. So, if you look, you've got African, you've got colored, you've got Asians, and then you've got whites. How have we performed against each of those? As you can see on, unfortunately I don't have a pointer, but if you look at the item number one on serial number, the first quadrant, of the African, you've got 64 male and 57 females. And this is trying to also then address the issue of gender equality and not only the race. And then if you look, we've got only two colored employees, of which two are male. You've got Asians, only one female. And then you've got six whites, of whom two are female and four are male. But in terms of number of disabled officials in the department, this condition is not only physical. It depends what the person would have then declared as the level of disablement. So then it tells you for Africans, you only have one who have declared themselves as disabled, one a disabled colored, and then one disabled white. So all in all, we are saying, Chair, there is much to be done in terms of gender equality, as well as in terms of ensuring that we employ a representative number in terms of disabled personnel. Chair, I think basically those are just the key aspects I wanted to cover on the last slide. I thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO. You are living up to your promise. Honorable members, you should remember that we said that we need to get quarter. This is the first quarterly report, isn't it? We said in our last meeting that we must get the quarterly report in time. And then that is what is happening. The first quarter ended in June. Now it's early August. I think if we can follow that trend, we'll see ourselves going somewhere. Honorable members, over to you. Honorable Dambuza, Honorable Gamede, you follow. Honorable Skosana.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And I would like to thank the department with the presentation. Chair, I think let me start on slide 10. No, is it 10? 19. Slide 19 on page 10. On the issue of this PPI 2303 on the military veterans business provided with access to empowerment. I think on this one, Chairperson, this is very critical in ensuring that our military veterans are being supported. But I don't feel, I'm not comfortable about the report that we are receiving. Because I remember in our last meeting, this issue was discussed, and we requested that we be provided with the information of the veterans that have been assisted, and and then on the type of the businesses that were provided. For instance, here there's a report that says they targeted 40, but 20, and we don't know whether this figure is, yes, this figure, it might be for this quarter one, but we don't have an information for the previous developments that have been happening. Then the second point is around the skills audit. Even this one, Che, you should just dialogue. So I don't know. Can they give us an indication? Have they started the audit? Or they are still thinking of it? How far are they if they have already started? Then the issue of the key positions. I would like to know, how many managerial, senior managerial positions that are vacant? And how many senior managers that are acting? And what is the reason for that? Then, still, whilst we are there, if my memory serves me well, Chairperson, the issue of advertisement of posts, it was also presented in our previous meeting. So I think what we are expecting now is to say by that the last meeting we were here, we will have so many vacancies, and as we have already advertised, because there was that report, so many vacancies were filled, and then we are left with so many vacancies. Yes, you can. They've reported that at least out of 169, 130 have been filled. But I think that information is very scanty, because we need to ensure that we follow the progress on that note. Then the other issue is on this issue of profiling the military veterans as well, the challenge on that one as well as this difficulties to ensure that the military veterans are supported. I'm just asking, Chair, just thinking, what are the provinces, what is the role of provinces? Why are they not assisting the department to access the information? Because they are the ones that are close. I understand not all provinces where the department have established the offices, but with those that have offices, are they providing this information? Are they assisting? And as well, you say you have got stakeholders. Are there no other stakeholders in other provinces that can assist in collecting the information that you require? So I was just thinking of that, Chairperson. Let me just pause there, and then I'll come later. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Let me appreciate both presentations, but acting DG General, maybe we want to be honest and also give you a brief as a committee so that when you move on from now, you really know all the sides. 3 years ago, we had a serious problem in the department that most senior positions were not filled. And most positions were not filled. And we instructed the department to fill all those positions, from the DG right to senior management, military management. The department was not getting good financial reports. That was done, except the position of the DG. Now, of late, I've seen that there are adverts for certain positions in the department, both senior and middle management. Now, this means that we're moving 3 steps forward and 4 steps backwards. Because we had put that aside, that now positions have been filled, let's move on. This is just to update you, DG. On housing, I'll have 2 points. As you reported, there has been no slower expenditure on housing, but there is just close to no expenditure. Okay. We are nearing our term as this parliament, and we've been talking about this issue of delivery of houses to military veterans, and we haven't moved an inch. I come from KwaZulu-Natal, and I would appreciate if you can boldly say you know, certain a number of military veterans have benefited on housing. The issue I've been raising took the department. I think one time there was Mr. Mahapa went there, met military veterans. At time we met the deputy minister, we went there, but still there are no houses. That's a reality. The other issue of payment in 30 days, our interest is, as a committee, is, as my colleague said, companies owned by military veterans and SMMEs and HDIs. So the 32% would not satisfy us. We'd be happy to see, you know, I've got so many military veterans doing business with our department, and they are benefiting. We've assisted them this way because we get challenges and questions from them about this 30-day payment. Other businesses are even closing. So we've dealt with this issue for some time. Also, as the CFO was explaining, you had a target for 1899 of 1,000 houses to be built, but you didn't set quarterly targets. That's a bit strange, you know. We'll be nearing our second quarter. That goes to my questions that I've asked, and we don't have a target for building houses for military veterans. So it means we'll pass two quarters without identifying or building houses for military veterans. I wish we could revisit, this is another question, the PPIs. I see PPI 301, 302, 303. What interests me more is 304, because there you perform 100%. So military veterans are taken care of when they are dead. There's no way where we can show that we serve them when they are living. We do our best. But then when they are dead, we really stretch ourselves that we give them service that they cannot even appreciate. This is really a serious concern. And also 305, on the sites. There are many sites, you know, to be erected. Even though you targeted three, there could be hundreds in South Africa and outside of the country. But the mere fact, because we need to recognize these people right now, the mere fact that for these quarters we haven't targeted. There are main sites, they are equal, but there are certain main sites where we're supposed to build in our provinces, or in the Eastern Cape, in Gauteng, in Limpopo. So this is just a major concern that on the sites we haven't moved this much. If I look at your human resources status, and it tells me that, you know, Africans are mostly employed, and if you look into numbers, I then ask myself the question whether we can reconcile this with the services that are rendered. Whether Africans now get the services for education, for housing, for health, the most percentage would go there because we have to serve where the challenge is. If we were to do the breakdown on education, on health, will it speak to this, that our black veterans are really getting the services? The last issue is the issue of education. I think even the budget speech, I did mention this. You need to revisit this because we always have challenges in terms of money because there's no policy on how to fund this. Some veterans take children to public schools, others to private schools, and then we overspend. So we need to develop a certain policy on education. And also, I think there's one serious problem that I pass on, the CEO is aware of, and pass it on to the relevant person. There are always problems with payment for fees on education. Always. Maybe we as a committee will request that all those items on education that we forwarded to the department, I think we need to get a response on those. I think 6-8 weeks ago I forwarded a certain list, learners with serious problems from veterans, and the CEO forwarded it to the relevant person, and we haven't had a response up to now. Thanks, Chair, for now.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair, and greetings to everyone. No, we welcome the presentation of the first quarter by the acting DG and the CFO. Well, my questions are, the first question is on slide number 17, PPI 203. On the where it says the percentage of military veterans who are verified and captured on the National Military Veterans Database, the annual target there is 95%, and the first quarter target is also 95%, but the actual output is 41%. Well, my question is that why are you targeting the entire 95% in one quarter? Why do you want to do it, all of it in one quarter? Because I see it means you want to do the annual target in a single quarter, and but actually the actual performance is 41%. Why do you want to do to achieve this 95% in one quarter, of which, whereas it is in actual fact an annual target? But secondly, what is the exact number of these military veterans that you want them to be captured, to be verified and captured in the National Military Veterans Database, so that we know this 95% is 95% of which figure? The second question on the same slide on PPI 204, on the total number of bazaaries provided for military veterans and their dependents per year. The annual target there is 10,700, and well, there's no target for the first quarter. I think you are indicating there that you will report in the second quarter. So my question is that are you not giving yourself too much workload for the other three quarters? Because I think it's easier for an annual target to be broken into all the four quarters. If you're saying, well, you don't want to report in the first quarter, you want to start reporting in the second quarter. Because I think this is a huge number, 10,700. Are you not overloading yourself for the other quarters? And going to slide number 16, on PPI 202, on the number of military veterans provided with newly built houses per year, though it will sound like a repetition, because the Honorable Kamete also raised this issue, that you are, the annual target is 1,000, but there's no target for the first quarter. Also on this one, are you also not overloading yourself for the other quarters? Because I think it could have been easier to break this 1,000 into the four quarters, so that at least after the first quarter we're able to say maybe 250 or 200. Are you not overloading yourself for the second quarter and the other quarters that are going to follow? And the last question on slide number 19, on PPI 302, number of military veterans and their dependents provided with approved funding for skills development programs. The annual target there is 5,000. The first quarter target is 1,000. But the actual output is 100. It's only 10% of the first quarter target. It means you were unable to do 90% of the first quarter target. Now, when I'm looking at the reasons, they indicate that the backlog of applications are currently being addressed, and the correction action says to ensure that the backlog of applications are finalized so newer applications are attended to. I just want to know as to how are you going to do that? Because I think if you've got such a backlog that just your first quarter target of 1,000, you will only be able to do 100. You are unable to do the other 900. Yet you've got an annual target of 5,000, which means now you've got an outstanding of 4,900, and you've got this backlog. How are you going to do that, to ensure that this backlog is being finalized so that you are able to do with the new application? Because I think as the quarter goes, as you move to the second quarter, third quarter, I think your problem might be bigger, because you will also be receiving new applications while you are also stuck with this particular backlog. How are you going to manage that? Thanks, Honorable Chair.
What to do?
Department.
Thank you, Chair. I will attempt to respond to the questions raised, and CFO, with your little bit of time in the department, you'll also fill in. The first question, Chair, which speaks to the business opportunities, where we seem not to be meeting the target of 40, we just done 20. And also the questions which probably were asked, which some of them we might have responded to, because we submitted a response to some of the outstanding questions. Now, with the department, the way we deliver our model to deliver these benefits, and so it's something we need to look at. I think we have not done justice in terms of the model we are utilizing. Now, when it comes to the business opportunities, we are not proactive. We are not going out. We are sitting back waiting for the individuals to come on board. And again, when they come to us and then we begin to give them the forms to fill and whatever, some of them, when they leave not necessarily that they understand what we are trying to say, and then they never come back to us because they are not necessarily comfortable. So in terms of our model of delivery and also the issues of what is it that we mean when you say we're going to provide people with business opportunities as a government department, because that can only be, in my view, happen when also we are able to link up, as it was mentioned, with other stakeholders in terms of the Department of Small Business and Medium Enterprises, and be able at least to make sure that they can be empowered and also they can be linked up to create their own business enterprises. So this is a challenge of us, first understanding what we mean, and secondly looking at the delivery model, and thirdly going out there and engaging other stakeholders. So presently we are struggling because of the conceptualization of what is expected of us. Then in terms of the skills audit, the department, in terms of the staff within the department, we've already started with that, with our skills audit. We had to look for a service provider, and then they've already started. We are working on that. Initially, there was a little bit of reluctance from the members, but we had at least to explain why there is a need of skills audit, so as to be able to empower and train people. So yes, we have started that program. Just to go back to the first question, I think when we begin to look at what we have done in the terms of the previous developments, we'll be able to say when it comes to those statistics also to in the next report to be able to make those visible. In terms of key positions which are vacant, the first one vacant is of the DDG. So this is where we've got an acting person. The second vacant the first one is of a DG, which is vacant, and the one is DDG SES, which is social economic support. That one has been advertised. Now, it only went out this weekend. It was advertised for almost a year, and nothing happened. So we then had to find out what actually happened, then look at the documents, And then we realized that at least we need to re-advertise because we almost finished a year without fill. And the direction we follow is that we advertise it for almost 2 weeks so that at least it can be filled as quickly as possible. We've got about three chief directors posts which are advertised. I think those two have been shortlisted. One is going to be shortlisted in September. Then with the directors, we've got about six directors, mainly post-advertised, and some shortlisted and ready for interviews. Some of the interviews have already been done. We'll be able at least to report in terms of the key posts which are vacant, a better performance and a better picture probably in the second quarter. The issue of our provincial offices, it's a challenge in the sense that in terms of the office space, we're able to get about three office space in terms of three provinces we've got office space. In other areas we've got warm bodies and they've got cars, and again it's a question of orientation and understanding of what these people are expected to do, which I've come to realize that some of them might not necessarily be fully aware what is expected of them and how far they go and what is it that they do. So these are the challenges which then we are at least managing within the department. And of course there is a history behind, because if then you move back to the headquarters in terms of provinces, stakeholder management, that's one area where we are weak. That chief directorate also is a chief directorate which I need to make sure that it's properly managed and directed. But there are gaps there which one is handling. In terms of information required, I will be corrected by the members. The only people who are utilizing in the various environment only are the, in terms of information required, are the our offices. There are no other stakeholders we are utilizing in terms of information required. CFO, you are going to help me in the question of question which speaks to the expenditure of houses in KwaZulu-Natal. Why I'm referring this, I think there's a history behind that, sure, which I have not captured properly, and also will help me when it comes to the payment in 30 days. Yeah. And in terms of, you can just take those. Yeah. Thanks.
No, thanks. Thanks, DJ. Maybe if I can just add to the issue of the roles from provinces, over and above what the DG has indicated in terms of the response of the inavailability of offices, we as a department have also engaged with the provincial governments. We have started with Mpumalanga, we have engaged with Eastern Cape, we've started engaging with Gauteng, and we'll be engaging in September with KZN provincial governments. The role of engagement there actually is quite fruitful, we hope. Because what we are then saying with the provincial governments, with the EXCOs and their technical committees, where each department will then engage with the DMV in terms of how they will assist, e.g. health. They will tell us how best we can utilize the provincial hospitals rather than us relying only on military hospitals. Amongst the things that we're asking from them is then when our military veterans do visit the provincial hospitals, for them to be given priority as part of the indigent groups. So that will also assist us in terms of fast-tracking service delivery. And the likes of transport, Gauteng, they said we can engage further in terms of providing transport to military veterans when they commute within the province. So there's lots of further engagements that is taking place other than us relying on our provincial offices. Then coming to the issue of houses in KZN, yes, it's true. We can only report one show house in KZN at this stage. But however, the problem is within our stakeholder, mainly SANVA, because we, in 2014-15, at that time we were doing pre-transfers. We had transferred around 7 million for military veteran houses to be built. And to date, we don't have anything tangible because of internal politics within the SANVA itself. The provincial government has indicated to us, yes, the money is still saved somewhere to build military veterans' houses. But however, they are still facing challenges within the political sphere. So there is also political interference in terms which affects service delivery by the DMV as well as human settlement. And so is other provinces. We've already reported issues around invasions, where then normal people would then invade units that are actually reserved for military veterans. So there's other factors other than the dependency of us on human settlements. So there's other factors that are actually kicking in. And then in terms of payments within 30 days, yes, we've noted the remark, Honorable Gamete. However, I would like to re-emphasize, we are doing our best not to impede on the development of SMMEs and HDIs. And hence the report will categorically state that the main reason for non-compliance and that deviation of 32% is mainly on established companies, mostly the travel agent, the Vodacom, as well as CETA. Those are the key drivers for that causes us to be non-compliant.
Thanks, Sue. Then, Chair, Honourable Members, one of the issues which has just been at least alluded to, which is a challenge with us, is our ability at least to come up with the performance indicators which are measurable. It's one of the challenges we've got. And also target setting. It's one of the challenges where we set targets. Now, I'm raising this in terms of the issue of 1,000 houses. Fully knowing that the houses are going to be built by human settlement. And again, human settlement take these houses, not necessarily from a national level to a provincial level. And then we've got to deal with the provinces. So the provinces also are delivering at different rates. And what's happening in various provinces also, it becomes a challenge. In some provinces, they would get sites which are not serviced, no electricity, no water. And that becomes a challenge. But also, the Western Cape, for an example, it's doing very well. They've decided to make a project of giving us about 102 houses by end of September. They have delivered probably now up to about 80 houses, and those houses are occupied. So there's a model we're beginning to take from the Western Cape because they either give us 30, and then we immediately settle military veterans. So there it's going well. But the way we have set the target, which is the question of 1,000, and then there is no quarterly target, we discussed this because when I was looking at it, then we discussed, then the argument which was raised, I'm not saying that it is a question argument, is that we do not want to report the stages of foundations and walls and whatever. We want to report houses which are built. But the question then, how then you set that target and how do you report it if you set it at quarter? So we concede in terms of setting the quarterly targets and the annual targets and how to achieve that and make sure that we are able to do justice in terms of reporting. So we take note of that. We are going to interrogate. We discuss it even among ourselves when we're preparing for this presentation. Then, in terms of Bureau 304, when we serve them alive, I think the idea is to, that's again another question, in terms of how do we set targets and where do we concentrate. Yes, we are trying to, Mr. Commander, to, Honourable Member, Commander, we are trying to assist them when they're still alive. And in terms of health service, we want to make sure, but again, in terms of skills development, and in terms of assisting them that at least they can be self-sufficient. This is the idea if we look at the mandate. But presently, we seem again going back. Our service delivery model of these benefits is a challenge. How are we doing it? And also our structure is a challenge. And again, our own people, their level of understanding what needs to be done is a challenge. So yes, we concede that we are not doing very well when it comes to the actual delivering the service to the military veterans. And we have come to realize where the shortcomings are. When it comes to education and health, yes, we can at least say those who are benefiting are more coming from the black communities. We can at least say that. And that also is having its own challenges, because when it comes to the education, some of the school, part of the reason why we are struggling with the payment of the schools, which we've come to realize, is that for us to pay according to national treasury, then there are certain conditions the schools need to satisfy. And one of those, they must be tax compliant. Now the key, then the schools probably are not looking at that side of the story, because they are dealing with parents who are not looking at the way national treasury is looking at things. So if the kid is at school and we have not paid, they chase the kid away. But then we cannot pay because the school is not tax compliant. Now it becomes difficult for us to make the schools tax compliant, which is a challenge. And again, with tertiary working through NSFAS, also that is a challenge, because that's the only service provider we are using as a department. So these are the modalities we need to interrogate, how best at least to achieve that. And of course, again, we cannot necessarily be sitting and waiting for the schools to be tax compliant. They might not understand that, so we need to engage in terms of stakeholder management so that they can understand once our students or our kids are there, so they can understand what's required, because they're not necessarily used to those kind of requirements. The challenge with our policies, rules and regulations, we are probably some of our policies outdated, need to be reviewed, and we have accumulated an experience in terms of what we're doing, so there is at least a big drive to make sure that our policy speaks to what needs to be done, and we need also to regularize what we're doing. The question of the public and private schools, it's one of these questions which has been asked. And of course, from the military veterans themselves, they feel very strongly that if a military veteran wants to take a kid to a private school, they expect us to at least respect that and to honor that. That becomes a debate. But then, in terms of the quantum, how much then we are at least allowed to pay in terms of our policy, that also brings its own challenges. When we say they must go to the public school, then they've got at least reservation about the performance of the public school, and it seems as if at least they don't have confidence in terms of public schools. So this is an area which we are engaging with SAMVA, and we'll be engaging the association, because we can do what is possible with the resources available to us. CFO, I'll just for a breather, I must have missed something there in terms of that area, just say you will fill it. And then before I finish, in terms of PPI 203, again, is question of capturing the annual targets and quarterly targets and 95% and how we measure that. Let's concede in terms of, Honourable Member, in terms of, through you, Chair, in terms of how we set targets and how we formulate these PPIs. It's something which is mind-boggling when you look at them and then you're saying this is your PPI, and then you set a target for the year, and then this very same target reflects as a quarterly target. And then it's something which also, in our discussion, we said, we need to, probably this panel needs to make me understand, because I've just been here for 2 months, to understand how we reach there. But going forward, we are going at least to try and make sure that what we do makes sense and is reasonable. And at least say it can be understood by the other people. And also for ourselves, because if you set an annual target, you must be able, if you are reporting on a quarterly, to have an idea what is it that you're going to be saying. And on a quarterly, monitor and evaluate yourself how you are doing. And then if you are falling behind, you will be able to have intervention and mitigating measures going forward within that quarter. But the way we have done it, it's not necessarily one of the best ways to do it. I consider that case through you, Chair. It's one of the challenges. It's the same again with the issue of the bursaries in terms of about 10,700 and the second quarter, and then skills development is the same issue which it is, has been alluded. We talk of 5,000, 1,000, but we are able to manage 100. Again, that question of the approach in terms of service delivery when it comes to, if we're sitting in offices, the question is, what skills are required out there in terms of the market and job opportunities? What is it that we're telling the military veterans and advising them to do? And again, can they access us? The challenge is our system for them to apply again in the provinces, because it's not computerized. In the provinces, we do not have the capacity to handle that. Then it ends up with them going as far as Pretoria to do what needs to be done. So we are looking at making sure that we computerize our system and we rely more on the provinces going forward so that they can be able to access, and also to be proactive in terms of making sure that we can at least sensitize them and also advise them and direct them what needs to be done. See if I might just slip some of those, if we capture some of those, please.
No, thanks, Dish. I just wanted to just clarify the rationale on PPI 203 in terms of using a percentage rather than using an absolute number. The rationale, through your chair, was to say at the end of the day you want to measure the turnaround time. You cannot easily measure a turnaround time using an absolute number. You might as well then say from the applications that you receive, certain number will be received and recorded by the department. So how quickly were you able to resolve those issues? So hence then there was a need then to use a percentage. But we do recognize that the committee in our previous interaction, they said then against the percentage, we must also indicate the absolute number against which we have fulfilled. So starting from quarter two, then we will still keep the percentage as a targeted percentage, because it's efficiency. We want to be at 95% all the time. We can exceed 95%, but you cannot be below. So that's how one would normally measure efficiency. So, but going forward to enhance the reporting, Chair, we'll then put the absolute number of applications received versus the achievement. So you'll have a percentage, and then in brackets it will show you total applications received in that period versus the actual number achieved, so that then you will compare apples with apples and be able to make sense of the number. And then the 10,700, yes, Honourable Member is correct. We may be overstretching ourselves. However, we already have a base, Chair, of the current number of approved students, which is the 7702 reported on our annual report for the 17-18 financial year. So that sets your base. So all we are saying is that then we will then be able to process more up to 10,700. So this number is cumulative, the 10,700 over a period. However, I need to then state that you can only measure this once you start receiving new applications. And the applications open, it should have been opened by now, but due to internal challenges, we haven't opened the new application process for the next academic year. So we will be opening for new applications in September, and hence then we are saying by quarter two we'll be able then to start reporting how well are we performing against the targeted 10,700. I thought I should just clarify that one, DG. So the same issue applies, it's already noted by the DG, to say the target on PPI 202, the 1,000. Maybe at that time, the department can then enhance this target setting per quarter by aligning each target versus the target of the province.
Because our target...
Our target is linked, should be linked to the provincial as well as the municipality targets by each province. So then, so that there is alignment. If the province doesn't deliver, we should be able then as DMV to give the underlying reason why we did not achieve versus what we have set for ourselves. Because we don't build, but we rely on them to build on our behalf. I thought I should just clarify that.
Thank you very much. There are follow-up questions. Honorable Gamede, Honorable Dambuza, that will be a new question from Honorable Van Rooyen.
Thanks, Chair. We accept all the explanations, but what we want to stress is that we need to have a report also as a committee that from 2014 to 2019, this is what we achieved for military veterans. So that one, even if we don't have anything that we achieved, it will be a report that we didn't get this. I was just highlighting that. The other issue is on education. It's common knowledge that it has been announced that NSFAS has been asked to hold on applications for next year. What plans do we have for our military veterans, and how are we communicating with them? Are we going to run around next year, you know, whereas we know right now what's going to happen with assisting military veterans with education? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I also would like to thank the explanation. We are accepting it, Chairperson. We don't want to be hard on our acting DG, because this is the first time he appears before this portfolio committee. So we need masizama kumcenga size naye understand basiqhuba njani. Chair, I think I'm tempted to request your office to invite the Department of Human Settlements again, because they were here last year, end of last year or beginning of this year, I'm not sure now. And they made so many commitments, but seemingly, and I'm also tempted to request you to request the Department of Human Settlements to come with their provincial HODs, because the service delivery is in the provinces and municipalities. So those metros. So I think it's a So, it's a plea on your office, Chair. The second point is on the issue of the
provincial offices. I would like to advise the DG that how about contacting the provinces, as you have already started on the service delivery part, to offer you at least space, whether it's one office, more special for those staff members that are already appointed. Now they don't have office, and it's going to affect them too. Nabo abazwa right. So just an office space so that they can operate at least shared services to those departments in the provinces. Then the other issue, Chair, I wanted to, on slide 7, plan issue key benefits. You raised an issue of, you are thinking of an alternative method on housing. I think in the next meeting, can you come and share that? If you do have that plan, can you share that plan with us? And then on the hotline issue, so I think it is important that we are being appraised by the issues that are raised on that hot number, on that hotline. We know that there are those common issues that people are reporting to us, challenge in education, but there might be other issues that we are not aware of. And then the number, the quantity of those issues. Then the other issue, Chair, is around the Program 6. I want to understand on Program 6, what is exactly entailed in that expenditure, in the higher expenditure? You say it's the medical outsourcing, just due to medical outsourcing. Is it equipment or the professionals, the doctors, or so what? And you tell us what is your plan in making sure that you alleviate that problem. I don't know the issue of CETA, Chair. I met CETA in another platform, but I think if there are problems, we need to be appraised of those problems. Seemingly they are trying in other platforms. I'm not sure. Are they trying to ensure that? Because we have also raised the issue of the software. So I don't know whether it's the software that is linked to or associated with the CETA or any other and other issue. Then the issue of Oh, the issue of public works. The issue of public works. I just want to check, because from the side of DOD, we had an information that there has been a problem of overcharging the department. So I want to check from your side, do you or have you experienced that problem? Have you managed to identify that problem on the side of DMV? And then if there has been that, what is the plan, way forward, on solving it? I check my thing again, please. If I want to next time.
Thank you, Honorable. Honorable Mnisi, you'll follow. Honorable Farwell.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe I should start by apologizing for arriving late, but also I should also indicate that one was not properly informed of this important meeting. And then Bonge, my colleague, Honorable Skosana, for bringing this meeting to my attention. But that's something that I think I'll sort out, Chair. No, Mr. Secretary, there is a problem of the communication. I don't think it's something that I'm presenting as an issue. I will deal with it with the Secretariat. Chair, I think I fully agree that the second quarter report should respond in a more detailed fashion on to identify the performance gaps. Because I think the committee, from an accountability point of view, deserves a more comprehensive remedial action to some of the pressing performance gaps that have been singled out, more especially on the key benefits, because as appropriately alluded to by some of honorable members, what is happening on the ground is a bit disturbing and painful. Of course, we are aware that the department is trying its level best to reach out or maybe to touch the lives of most of our military veterans. But the reality of the matter is that the failure to touch on all potential beneficiaries is very, very conspicuous. We can't hide it. In fact, it's a mockery of our democratic dispensation. So it will be good that in the second quarter we are given a more detail, because I miss the timelines on certain undertakings. And I try also very quickly, Chair, to go through the annual performance plan. Those details are not yet cleared, or they are non-existent. So I think it will be good in the second quarter that we get a tight remedial action plan on how those performance gaps are going to be dealt with. I mean, from an oversight point of view, but also, I mean, from a socio-economic impact point of view, because these benefits are meant to improve the lives of military veterans. Now, there are also two details, Chair, that I missed in the presentation, but also I missed in the annual performance plan. The first being the compliance status of businesses that are doing, that are providing services to the department. Compliance status mainly on your BBBE Act. I'm raising this, Chair, because it has came to our attention that in the main, most of the government businesses that are doing business that are providing services to government are not complying with the BBBE Act. Now, I appreciate the fact that you are citing some businesses that have been given opportunity to provide services to the department. But that detail is very, very important, I mean, from a transformation point of view, but also from an empowerment point of view. I'm not sure where can one be referred to, because I looked into our annual performance plan. That detail is not there. So I think to reinforce the question that was posed by Honorable Member, it will be important that we get that information as to the companies that are providing services to the department, their status of compliance. Because we can't be seen to be undermining our own legislative provisions. And we must deal with this one very, very harshly. And the other detail that is missing here, Chair, stakeholder management. You are pumping a lot of money into some of the stakeholder activities. The question that obviously is haunting me as a public office bearer, or I want to say a public representative, the value for money. Well, I wanted to check the model that is being used by the department to monitor if some of the stakeholders, because you are citing certain activities that are consuming a lot of money from the department assigned or allocated to these stakeholders. How do you, as a department, because that the responsibility, I mean, lies with you. How do we ensure that there's value for money in these particular allocations. Is there any model that we can, as a committee, look at and interrogate on the value for money that has been assigned to these stakeholders? Because if not, then I think we should all be worried. Because this money might be used for other things that are not necessarily meant to assist the department to realize its objective. So I'm not sure if there is a model in existence. If there is one, can we be taken through as a committee, this model, so as we can start looking if really we are realizing value for the money that we invest. We might be pumping money into some of these stakeholder associations, but because this money is not used for what it's meant for, the beneficiaries are not realizing any benefits from some of the stakeholders. And because the department doesn't have a way of monitoring how some of these stakeholders are utilizing this allocation, then it's free for all. And some of this money might also be used for wrong reasons, you know. So I think, Chair, if we can be maybe be guided as to, is there a model existing to monitor this relationship, but also can we be taken through as a committee on the efficacy of that model. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nisi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, my main concern is around the issue of housing. I understand that we might maybe sound like a broken record, but it's really serious because we are there on the ground with the military veterans who are suffering, who are staying in Mkukwi in Mjondolo. So they normally comes to us. Chair, I just want to remind this meeting that you, Chairperson, once called a meeting whereby there were all stakeholders. I remember that Human Settlement was there, Transnet was there, and all other stakeholders were there. We're trying to bring everyone under one roof to get explanation around this issue of housing, on what is going on, what are the challenges, what are the blockages. But I'm surprised, Chairperson, that until now there's nothing coming forth. I'm not sure, Chairperson, if it will be possible for you maybe to call another meeting, so that we can be able to get reports direct from those stakeholders, because they've made promises, but nothing is coming forth now. And our term is over now, and there's nothing that you can report. So I'm really worried about this issue of housing, because nothing is happening so far. I don't know what happened. Maybe you made follow up with the stakeholders, or what is happening. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Acting DG, I want you to round up very quickly.
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members. I think in terms of what we've achieved the past years from 2014, we look at that report and make sure that it is compiled correctly. In terms of NSFAS, as we looking, we are engaging NSFAS to figure out, and also we're looking at as a department, how then are we going to be moving forward since we've been relying on them. So we do not have concrete plans yet, but we are engaging. In terms of, I think most of the issues were more comments in terms of the area. But for CETA, the challenge with CETA is that they also are challenged when it comes to certain capacities. And of course, this is what we're working with them, because we're trying at least to computerize our systems, including the application, that the military veterans do not have to come to our offices. They can use their cell phones, smart cell phones, and they can check whether they are in the system, whether in fact even the application of that but it's taking us time because we started with CETA almost last year. Challenge with the healthcare speaks to that the SAMS, which is the South African Military Health Services, are the ones providing the service for us. Now they've got only three hospitals, one in Cape Town, one in Bloemfontein, one in Pretoria. Now for our military veterans, if they must go to hospitals, then we must transport them. If they sleep over, we must accommodate them. And this becomes a little bit expensive. And also the invoicing of us by SAMS, we are dealing presently with the invoices which speaks to the services which was delivered last year. Sometimes they also are able to show us invoices which speak about a year or two ago. So this is also eating up the current budget, which at least is a challenge in for managing that. With CFO, you can, I don't have an experience of public works in terms of charges, whether they're overcharging us. I won't come across that. If you can just allude to that.
Thanks, DJ. We, as DMV, haven't experienced any overcharge from public works, except the issues that were raised in the current contract, which is expiring in November for the current headquarters, where then it appears that the rate was over the stated, instead of the market-related rate. So then we've been advised that we're paying way above the area rate of as we are located in Hatfield. So that's the experience that we have. But in terms of month-to-month billings, invoices do arrive on time, as well as for the provincial offices. They haven't been billing us on time for provincial offices, but those issues were being addressed, yeah.
As for the also second quarter when it comes to the jail report and the issues raised, we'll look at that. And CFO, if you can help us, I don't think we have done this in terms of the APP, which speaks to the compliance of the businesses as far as BE is concerned. I don't think we have got that.
Thank you, Chair. We've noted the remark. We will do that analysis because it's not part of our normal reporting, but we will compile the report for the committee members to interact with. As well as in terms of stakeholder value for money, we will prepare something which will then talk in terms of how we fund all the stakeholders that we deal with, Chair, and then to be presented to the committee. Yeah, thanks.
Lastly, Chair, from us, in terms of us being able at least to do justice, what is expected of us, we're going to be looking at our policies, our systems and our procedures, and also our service delivery model going forward. But we want to say thank you for the time and also for the questions. It will at least allow us to prepare next time. And we take note that next time there will be no, probably, empathy coming our way. Thank you.
Thank you, General.
good. About the stakeholders, honorable members, it will not only be human settlement. We need to get a full feedback from all the stakeholders that we invited to come and make presentation here, the SOEs and the departments. I think in our next programs, we need to factor that. Now, as for the Defense Amendment Bill, I was made to understand that the State Attorney will be here, the Parliament Legal Advisors will be here tomorrow, and we have applied for a meeting from 12:30 to 3:30. Not half past one hour. We need only 1 hour. The department will try to sort itself out as to whether who they will send. You do me where tomorrow? Yeah, okay. And now that sort yourselves out. Now, in terms of general, I know that you have just came in your 2 months in your position, but
on management level, I would advise you to please professionalize the department. We are inundated with calls every day about unanswered phones in the department. I experienced that myself. Non-payment of school fees. No one-stop service. When you need a service, you push from pillar to pillar in the department. Now, it does not work augur well in terms of work ethics. I think what we need in the department is work ethics. If you can concentrate on that, you'll promote the image of the department. The image is getting dented every day, and we don't want that because it's a very crucial department. And at least, and you must fill vacancies. You won't achieve anything if you don't fill in vacancies. That should be done speedily. Now, honorable members, the are questions that we asked, and then we said they should, written answers should be provided. The reason that we say there should be written answers is that members must have these written answers. Go through them, and when you come to this meeting, talk to the responses. Now, we are urging members to go and read these responses so that the next time when you come to the meeting, we need to ask the department to clarify us on areas that are grey. I think that is how we are going to approach this questions, written answers to questions. Now, I think that brings our meeting to an end. I'll give you an opportunity, ma'am. Ma'am, can I hear from you?
Chairperson, given the challenges that we mentioned, is it possible for the committee to conduct this clause-by-clause analysis and provide us with written questions so that we can respond, because it seems as if we really have a problem being here tomorrow.
No, it's fine. You'll get information. The state law advisor will be here. Yeah, you'll get information. And so the state law advisor is representing all of you. And Mutlu will be here too. And thank you very much. Our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.